listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. As we continue to recap Conference Championship Sunday and get you set for the Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks, we'll be out in Arizona for the entire week of Super Bowl week, and we'll be doing five live shows from Radio Row, as you do have the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And now joining us is a man that played for the Philadelphia Eagles, was the head football coach for the Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's Herm Edwards back on the Zach Gelb Show. Herm, it's been a while. How you been?
I've been well. How about you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you coming on. So we'll get to the officials in just a second because everyone's talking about the officials. But I want to talk about Chris Jones yesterday. We know how great he is for Kansas City, but he was the most dominant player in that football game up against the Bengals yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a different situation for the Bengals. The prior week they played in Buffalo, obviously, and the weather had something to do with the pass rush. And the fact that Cincinnati was making 6 yards on first down, so it never got into a game where Burroughs had to go back and hold the football. You know, they ran the ball well, got rid of the ball, never was in harm's way. In Kansas City, it was a different outcome, and you're right. Chris Jones dominated the game, and I thought they did a nice job of moving him around, not only because he's an inside player, but at times they moved it at the end. And at the end of the game, he got the sack to close the game out.
With the high ankle sprain that Mahomes had, were you surprised how at times he looked like he was just an absolute robot on the field?
No. There was some concern during the week. I can remember being in studio and people were saying, well, I wonder if he's going to play. I said, are you kidding me? He's going to play. Not only did he play, he played really good. I mean, for a guy that couldn't move, and then obviously the last play he moved well, but I thought he did a nice job in the pocket of just – playing football and being under control, and you know, that's where the baseball comes in. He doesn't have to use his legs as much as some guys, but his arm talent goes without being said.
Herm Edwards here with us. So, all right, let's get to the officials. What did you think of the officials in the AFC title game?
I've always said this thing about officials is they never have a home game. So wherever they're at, regardless of what happens, how it turns out for that team that they walk into the stadium, two, that's a home team. It's never good if you leave them in a bad way. But there were some calls, obviously, you scratch your head, especially with the electronics they have now where they can actually go down and, you know, stop it from playing. I mean, the Philadelphia deal was one that was interesting. You know, they didn't have a good shot at it, and Philly did a nice job of getting back on the ball and obviously scored on that series of plays.
I think a lot of people in the Eagles game with that play that you're talking about with DeVonta Smith, they see DeVonta Smith basically imploring the team to get up to the line to spike the ball. A lot of people saying that should have been enough for Kyle Shanahan to just throw the flag. When you see a player on the other team telling his guys, let's go, let's go, let's go, does that make you more inclined as a coach to throw the flag?
You have that tendency to do that, but sometimes, you know, sometimes the players aren't quite sure either. And so, you know, you're hoping you get something from the booth, from those guys that have the eyes down there, because sometimes where you're at as a head coach, you can't see it all. That could be on the far side of the field, could be way away from you. So you're hoping you get a picture of it, but that wasn't the case, and it ended up being a scoring drive for those guys.
Herm Edwards here with us. Getting back to the officiating the AFC title game, when you look at that 3rd-and-9 whole play, where then the play plays out, and they said it was called dead, I've never seen anything like that.
You would hope the officials would just get over the ball and don't allow the play to start. I mean, that's the best way to solve it. And, you know, I was in that league for a long time, and I think anytime you're the head official, if you have any concern, the best thing for you to do is just go in there and stop play. And just that's what you do. And for some reason, they didn't do that.
What would you say to the young man, Joseph Osai, who had the late hit? It was clearly a foul to me, but he's 22 years old. What advice would you give him as his coach?
Look, I think they have a great football team. And I thought those players, some of them were angry, obviously, and emotion always spills out when a guy gets a penalty in that situation. But I thought the team rallied around him, and, you know, he's going to have to live with that. And that's the hard deal, because the thing you do know about the championship games is that it's final. I mean, if you walk out of those stadiums and you lost, your season has ended. No different than in the regular season. When you don't make the playoffs, your season has ended. And when you get into those games, the championship game, you're one win away from going to a Super Bowl, and you never know if you're going to get back.
With the Burrowhead comments that they had, if you were a coach, did you tell your guys to knock that off? Like, does that play a factor in the game?
That's a part of the, you know, gamesmanship. I think that's always been involved in sports. I grew up a Muhammad Ali fan.
Okay.
So you're talking to the wrong guy, and I played corner, right? I think nowadays, though, because of social media and everything is out there, you know, everything you say is really talked about. And a lot of these players, that's what they do. They can't walk 10 yards without their phone in their hand. They're all reading it. But I think at the end, you got to go play. You know, words are great, but you got to back them up. That's what I always say. If you're going to say it, back it up.
Herm Edwards, I thought it was funny how much the Kansas City players heard the Cincinnati mayor with what he was saying before the game.
Well, I think, look, we can say that motivated them. I think 0-3 motivated them even more.
Yeah.
You know, they played this team three times, and they've been beat by these guys. And I just think they got tired of hearing that noise, because they're an excellent football team, and obviously it was a big win for them.
When you look at Sirianni with the Eagles, was a hire 2 years ago. He was crushed right after his introductory press conference, and now he's laughing in the Super Bowl. It reminds me a lot like Doug Peterson, because I was in Philly when Doug was hired, and that was not a popular hire.
Well, you know, and look, I played there, and he has won the favor of the fans. And he that personality fits there. He's done a remarkable job, especially with the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback has really transferred his game to a different level. When you think about his ability to throw the ball now, we knew he was a good athlete, a good runner. But his accuracy down the field, getting A.J. Brown helped as well, and, you know, a couple of those other guys. And I just think this football team is going to be around for a while.
And you got to give credit to Howie Roseman, because how many times that guy is counted out. I don't think I've ever seen a GM like have an offseason where he doesn't miss, whether it was Reddick, A.J. Brown, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Even in season, they got Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, they've done a great job of really collecting players. And understand, you know, I think the key is, you know, what type of team are you trying to build? And I do know this, and this just goes back to my days when I entered there as a rookie in 1977. The one thing the Philadelphia fan wants to see out of their teams, regardless of what team you play for, any sport in the city of Philadelphia, you better play hard and you better be tough. And if you do those things, those fans will respect you. And in football especially, you better play defense if you're a Philadelphia Eagle.
What would you have said, Herm Edwards, to your team at halftime if you were the coach of the 49ers, just with the injuries? We already know they were out two quarterbacks, and they lose Purdy, and then Johnson gets knocked out of the game, and then they have to go back to Purdy.
Well, obviously, they're down one score. And it's not hard for players to figure out. You know, you got to win this thing now defensively, and we got to win it with special teams. And our saying was always this as a coach: if they can't score, they can't win. And they played as hard as they could play that 49er team. And you know, it's a shame that a game of that magnitude, it ended up like that, you know. But here again, you got to take your hat off to him. And our prayers got to go out to Purdy, because it's a lot worse than we anticipated. Obviously, he's going to have surgery. He could be out for 6 months. So now, all of a sudden, the quarterback carousel in San Francisco starts. The guy they had, obviously, they had high aspirations, got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo's looking for a place. Obviously, and then there's the Captain America, Tom Brady. Does he go back home? So there's going to be a lot of talk about quarterbacks in San Francisco.
And it's crazy how quickly that changes, because headed into that game, it was, okay, Brock Purdy's going to be the starter. Now you're right. I do think this opens back up the door for Tom Brady.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's you can imagine, we'll be talking about it on the Worldwide Leader. We already started today. I was on television today, and it's like, here we go. You know, it just, it never stops, and that's what's so great about the sport of football, as you know. It's year-round now, so we'll have something to talk about.
Herm Edwards here with us. I know going up against your old team, and it's many years removed, it's never easy. But for Andy Reid, not that you need any extra motivation. It's the Super Bowl. Everything goes out the window. But that's a pretty neat storyline with Andy Reid, who was Mr. Eagle. Now with the Chiefs, he's Mr. Chief, and he's going up against his old squad.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I was fortunate enough to be a head coach in that league as well, and went against teams that obviously that I coached at, and you know, when or played. It was Philadelphia with the Jets. We played those guys a couple of times. Probably the greatest thing for me is when we played the Eagles. You know, generally when the whole team, when the visiting team comes into the stadium and they introduce the players, they boo, right? And so I knew I got their respect because when they said my name, the crowd didn't boo; they actually clapped. And I said, that's interesting. Even the players noticed and say, Coach, they didn't boo you. I said, well, you know, been here 10 years. I did some things right for them, so I guess they're still okay with that.
Yeah, after that play at the Meadowlands, I don't think you're ever going to get booed in Philadelphia, Coach.
Yeah, that was one that was, I was in the right place at the right time, obviously.
So the Kelce storyline, too. You got Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. I can't even imagine what that family's going through.
What do the parents do when they go to the game?
The mother has a split jersey.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. You put one quarter, I've opened it. They're going to win regardless, right? It was almost the situation I was in when the 49ers obviously played the Philadelphia Eagles. I was a little bit torn in the fact that John Lynch is the GM, and we're really close. I mean, he's the godfather of my son, and we're the godfather of one of his little girls. So that was a hard game for me, too, to watch.
You know, the Harbaughs too, going back to a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's hard, you know, and it's just, that's what makes the game so great. You know, there's a lot of storylines to people that are connected to people. And like you said, Andy's going back to Philly and did a remarkable job there. I can remember Andy when I was my first time with the Chiefs with Marty Schottenheimer and Bill Cowher and Tony Dungy and Bruce Arians. You know, Andy was just getting into it. He was at Missouri. He was like an assistant coach over there.
Wrap it up with Herm Edwards. What's your first thought on this game 2 weeks out?
Oh, this is going to be something. You know, I think that the last time the Chiefs played a defense like Philadelphia was against the 49ers. And I actually, my family, we went to that game. So I saw it live. Now, obviously, it didn't turn out good for the 49ers that day, but the Eagles better beware that this Chiefs team, they get on a roll. They get going, and I think the key is you got to take Kelce out of the mix. I mean, he's the guy. He is always the guy around the ball, always in the red zone. Mahomes and him have some chemistry together. But this Eagle team is pretty good, guys. I mean, they got a good football team.
You being the former coach of the Jets, how realistic do you think it is that they trade for Rodgers this offseason?
That would be interesting. Another Green Bay quarterback coming to the Jets, right? I mean, they have a playoff defense. There's no doubt about that. I know this, the coach, you know, he wants to be similar to the 49ers on offense. He wants to run it. He wants to, you know, do that. And I just think if they get a quarterback, a veteran guy, they're going to be set. They're going to be a hard out.
They got to get someone because defense, you're right, that is a playoff caliber, really good defense. You know how that works. If your defense is showing up each and every week, but the offense isn't, that's how you lose the locker room as a coach.
Well, and it becomes hard. It just becomes hard, you know, when you can't score. But the problem is when you're turning the ball over. You know, that's even more – that even becomes more of a problem because now you're putting the defense in a bad way. So I just think they'll find a solution, and they've got a good football team. But, you know, that AFC has a lot of great quarterbacks, young ones too. It's going to be fun to watch these guys develop over the next couple of years.
Do you think the situation is fixable in New York with Zach Wilson, or has that ship already sailed?
You know, I'm not there. All we hear is things. I don't know how the locker room feels about the guy, and this is where Coach Salas is going to have to really talk to some of those veteran guys and say, hey, look, you know, how do you guys really feel about this guy? The guy is young, and there's a lot of pressure on him. And I think that conversation needs to be had. I think he's had it already. And it'll be interesting here now going forward what they do at that position.
Herm, we appreciate the time. Good to catch up with you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There you go. Herm Edwards joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let me take one right before the break. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jay in Alaska. Jay, what's shaking?
Hey, what's up, Zach? Hey, man, I'm going to have to go full tinfoil hat, man. I think that they were completely wanting the Chiefs to get in the game. I mean, they have been helping the Chiefs out with the refs have been helping the Chiefs out all season. You remember the Raider game earlier this year when we lost by a point? I mean, that ridiculous holding call they called on Colin Farrell for the when they kicked the field goal and missed it. I mean, the crap that they are. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you know, as far as the Bengals, I wanted to say, hey, Bengal fan, how does it feel? You guys, you're the refs screwed us for you guys last year. This year, you got it back. So how you like that?
Well, wasn't your quarterback play at all last year? You blame that one on the officials in that playoff game?
No. But we should have won that Chiefs game. That was I saw some replays. They showed one of the offensive linemen pick Jonathan Abram up by both shoulder pads and throw him to the ground, and they didn't call holding.
You know what? I mean, Jay, I don't know if you have actually the right to go after the officials, because you're talking about Clelin Ferrell and Abram. You can't stand both. How many times you call in and bitch about both those guys,
dude? I watched the thing on Good Morning Football that they show that my boy Max Crosby, okay, you want to go away from those two guys? How about Max Crosby? The most held defensive end in the league with no calls. Come on. You can't tell me that they don't got a bias against the Raiders. They do.
So that's
it's 100%.
So that's why you think that the Raiders are in bad of a spot that they are. It's because of the officials.
No. It's not just that. It's McClown boy, too, and his horrible play calling.
Do you want Brady, by the way? I know you can't stand Brady.
No,
but
I do not want
you're
Brady.
You're full of crap. You're welcome into the dark side.
No, you no. I'm not a turncoat. I'm not a turncoat. I'll take Jimmy G.
You want Jimmy G? The guy's hurt every other year.
Here's my reason why. Because P. Diddy Stiddy is backing him up. And we know that P. Diddy can play a couple games when Garoppolo gets hurt. And they both know the system. If we have to be stuck with I'd rather have those two guys.
Now, real quickly, Jay, Hickey wants to make a point to you. Hickey, make the point that you wanted to say to Jay.
Well, it's just ironic. Jay's complaining about the refs in the Raiders-Chiefs game. If you recall in that game, remember when Chris Jones sacked Derek Carr for the fumble?
Oh, yeah, that was
halftime?
A horrible call, too.
That was ruled what, Jay? Roughing the passer on Chris Jones.
That was horrible,
Helped the Raiders, but the refs are biased.
Oh no! You know what? I will.
You just got Hickey.
You
just got Hickey right there.
Call.
That was the first time Hickey actually made a shot in his life, right there. Come on, Jay! You just brought out the best of Hickey.
That was a horrible call as well. I mean, I'll smack my own. I mean, that was a ridiculous call. They should never call that. So
you got it, Jay. You cracked me up. Thanks so much, Jay in Alaska. It always goes back to the Raiders. That game yesterday had nothing to do with the Raiders. Nothing. Either of the games. And he finds a way to make it go back to the Raiders. I respect, Hickey, the creativity from Jay in Alaska.
And I love how he just glosses over, you know, some of the facts that get in the way of his argument. So let's just pretend the Chris Jones play didn't happen. The Raiders got screwed. The referees wanted the Chiefs to win that game. They wanted the Chiefs to win yesterday.
What about Carr turning over the football last year? At the end of that playoff game.
Didn't happen.
Didn't matter.
Happen. Then I don't know what you're talking about.
When they blew that play dead on, or they allowed the touchdown to stand, and he thought the play should have been dead with the whistle, whatever. Yeah.
Doesn't fit the narrative, Zach. We can't talk about that. We don't acknowledge, but it doesn't fit the narrative. I love Jay. I respect it.
That's great. That's absolutely great. All righty, we'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Do you love spending all that time in long grocery checkout lines? Yeah. I didn't think so. Get a HelloFresh's. Chef-created recipes delivered right to your door instead, and you could skip the trip to the grocery store so you could spend more time doing the things you love. HelloFresh now has 40 weekly recipes to choose from, more choices than ever before. Say goodbye to your recipe rut and hello to seasonal recipes packed with farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients that makes getting dinner on the table easy and enjoyable. From fit and wholesome to family and friendly, family friendly and quick and easy, HelloFresh has dishes for your lifestyle and meal preference with options to please even the pickiest eaters. Hickey, this seems like it'd be good for you. Plus, it doesn't hurt that HelloFresh is cheaper than grocery shopping and restaurant takeout. Make eating easy and exciting with America's number one meal kit. Sign up today for 65% off plus free shipping with code SPORT65 at HelloFresh.com/SPORTS65. That's code SPORT65 at HelloFresh.com/SPORTS65.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we start things off in Philadelphia, where it was a party if you're a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, as the Eagles did slay the 49ers 31-7, and things got started very quickly in Philadelphia. I thought Kyle Shanahan and the Niners made a mistake when they won the toss and they elected to defer to the second half. And Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, 11 plays, 66 yards. They went down the field in 5 minutes and 12 seconds, ended up getting a touchdown for Miles Sanders, who ended up having 2 scores, 2 touchdowns in the game. And a controversial play here on 4th and 3, the Eagles did air it out deep to Devontae Smith. At first, I thought he made a ridiculous one-handed catch for 29 yards. That did take the Eagles down to the Niners 6. It ended up standing because the Niners didn't challenge it. Now, the first replay, it looked like it was a catch. When you eventually saw another angle, it was clearly a drop. But when Devontae Smith is yelling, get up to the line, get up to the line, get up to the line, that showed some doubt on his end. I thought Kyle Shanahan should have thrown the flag. And then on the 49ers' first possession of the game, Brock Purdy did get strip sacked by one Hassan Reddick, and that was eventually overturned on review, where eventually, originally they did rule it was a incomplete pass. This game eventually got to 7-7, then 14-7, and the Niners got the ball back with a 1:36 left in the first half. Their drive only lasted 2 plays because Josh Johnson did fumble the football. It was recovered by Hassan Reddick at first. When that drive started, I thought they were just going to run the ball and go into halftime down by 7, which I thought would have been the prudent move. They elected not to do so. And then after the fumble, the Eagles 3 plays later get a Boston Scott touchdown. You go into halftime, it's 21-7. Brock Purdy was knocked out of the game. In the second half, you get Josh Johnson knocked out of the game as well, as he did suffer a concussion. Purdy had to come back in, but we found out he had a UCL injury today, so he's going to need surgery potentially and be out for 6 months. And from there at 21-7, you knew that the Niners weren't coming back. Eagles made it 28-7, and you could party for there, as you'll be playing for Lombardi coming up in 2 weeks in Glendale, Arizona. Let's hear the calls. You'll hear a Miles Sanders six-yard touchdown run to make it 7-0. A Hassan Reddick fumble recovery on a Josh Johnson fumble deep in San Francisco's territory right before the end of the first half. And you also had Boston Scott on a 10-yard scamper to make it 21-7 right before halftime. And you didn't even really need to play the final 30 minutes. But here's Merrill Reese on the Eagles Radio Network.
On second down, the give goes to Sanders up the middle. Touchdown! Miles Sanders, 6 yards. Eagles lead. First and 10, 49ers. Johnson is throwing. He fumbles the snap, goes down and gets it. That could have been a disaster. He got it. Now the Eagles say they have. Let's see. I thought Johnson was on top of it, but then
Marcus there was Epps more... is very comfortable that the Eagles have the football.
And they do. Oh my. Devontae Smith to the near side. Can one of them open up? They go to Scott. Tries to sweep. He's at the 5. He pushes forward. He is in for the touchdown. Boston Scott.
Jalen Hurts finished the game 15-25, 121 yards through the air, 11 carries for 39 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Miles Sanders, 11 carries for 42 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. Kenneth Gainwell, 18 touches for 74 total yards. Hassan Reddick, who I thought was the most dominant player in the game, 2 sacks, a tackle for loss, and a fumble recovery. And for the quarterbacks for the Niners, Josh Johnson, 7-13 for 74 yards, left the game in the third quarter with a concussion. And Brock Purdy was 4-4 for 23 yards, and he was hurt on the 6th offensive snap of the game. And Christian McCaffrey, 19 touches for 106 yards and a touchdown. It was a crazy touchdown run for Run CMC. Niners, their season is over. Eagles off to the Super Bowl. Will they look to win their second championship in franchise history? And Hickey, I've never seen, by the way, a quarterback who gets hurt, then you go to Josh Johnson, he gets hurt, and when they put in Brock Purdy, I'm like, why didn't Brock Purdy get put in the game earlier? And then you find out today at the UCL injury, and also during the game, he couldn't throw a ball more than 10 yards. Having a quarterback who can't throw the ball seems to defeat the purpose, but I've never seen that because they had no other options to go to.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's happened, but at least not off, you know, top of my head of like talking about a team that doesn't have a court, like someone who can't throw the ball. We're talking about Christian McCaffrey. I'm looking at Juwan Jennings highlights from like Tennessee when he can kind of throw. We're like, this is what we're kind of talking about.
But how much, and I know that they know the playbook from a receiving standpoint, but how much do they know putting everyone in the right place?
If we're talking again, arguing about Juwan Jennings putting behind center, like that's it's over anyway. But was wild.
They needed Alec Ingold.
They did.
But they rested thumb.
Right. Made the clubs off and he could throw.
I think they're pretty good though with their fullback in San Francisco. And I always say this. I always laugh at people. And to be fair, for the 49ers, you had 2 previous injuries throughout the year. So how many quarterbacks can you carry through a season? But so many people now, right? They say, oh, you can never carry 3 quarterbacks on the roster. Yesterday, and you probably would have made one inactive anyway before the start of the game. So I get it, but sometimes you need that extra quarterback.
The NFL should adopt the NHL's emergency goalie policy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you take the random guy as the hot
fan,
dog vendor.
Who's going in, put him in a helmet here.
Jaworski, Jaws, you're in the stadium. All right, get down on the field.
All right, run a 10-yard. We're going to throw a 10-yard slanty. You throw it here. Just see, at that point. Have a little fun if you can't throw the ball anyway.
Now, a little bit easier to be a goaltender and stop the puck.
Agreed.
Than operate the entire offense.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Play the most important position in all of sports. But, hey, better than watching Brock Purdy hand the ball off 25 times or whatever it was.
You get like
Madden
Delco, who was like a high school quarterback, comes off the bench and plays for the Niners.
Leads them to victory. That's a hero script
right
there. The
most hated guy in Philadelphia.
Yeah, he would be. Actually, probably the Eagles fans would throw it on purpose. They would, like, throw picks.
Yeah.
They, like, throw their own stats.
100%.
They make it worse.
All right, let's go to Chiefs and Bengals. You'll hear Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 19-yard touchdown reception to make it 20-13 in the third quarter. Patrick Mahomes did scramble for a first down. He had the late hit out of bounds to put the Chiefs in field goal range with 8 seconds remaining, and you get the game-winning kick from Harrison Butker to put the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl after a year absence. Here is Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Cincy was 6 men up on the line of scrimmage. Fake a delayed blitz. Mahomes will fire it late for the end zone. Caught! Marquez Valdes-Scantling on his backside. Touchdown! Kansas City, Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a 19-yard reception. Bengals four-man rush. Mahomes trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling, and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late. He gets hit late. He gets hit late. Mahomes gets hit late. It'll be a 15-yard penalty on top of the gain. Harrison Butker, the biggest kick of his Chiefs life. Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good. 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 Did Cincinnati call timeout? They did not. They did not. They did not. It's a field goal from 45 yards out by Harrison Butker with 3 seconds to go in regulation.
So interesting call there at the end, Hickey. I did not hear that until now. I guess he thought that there was maybe a timeout, or was that just paranoia that just kind of kicked in?
I would say paranoia, because usually you always get the coaches right before they're about to snap it. They're standing next to the referee. Most of the time we see them ice the kicker.
And also with how late things were blown dead
also
in
true.
That game. Even
That'd
though
be
it
fitting.
Benefited you, you may want to wait an extra second.
Kick is to the uprights. All of a sudden there's a referee blowing it dead. Oh, didn't count. Timeout.
No, what would have happened is they would have counted the kick. They would have went to commercial break, then came back and said, oh, actually, they blew the play dead. The kick didn't count.
CBS has been the king recently of going to break at the worst time and come back with a totally different result than what happened going to break.
Can you play me the final field goal call just one more time? I just want to hear it one final time.
Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good. 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 Did Cincinnati call timeout? They did not. They did not. They did not. It's a field goal from 45 yards out by Harrison Butker with 3 seconds to go in regulation.
After hearing that a second time, I think he saw something that made him think that there was a timeout call. Because when you're going off, like, it's good, did they call timeout? I think he may have thought he saw something out of the corner of his eye or just looking directly head on from his view in the press box. But anyway, here are the numbers from the game. Patrick Mahomes, 29 of 43, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, basically on one ankle. Live Sports Bureau. Mahomes has now led 3 lead-changing drives in the playoffs that began with 1 minute or less on the clock. No other QB has more than one. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, welcome to playing in the postseason with the clutch postseason quarterback. 6 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, 7 for 78 yards and a touchdown. He'll go on to the Super Bowl to play up against his brother in Jason Kelce. Chris Jones, Hassan Reddick was the most dominant player on the field for Eagles 49ers. For Chiefs Bengals, it was Chris Jones. 4 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 5 QB hits, and his biggest sack did come at the end of the game to get the ball back to the Kansas City Chiefs before that game-winning field goal drive. Joe Burrow, 26 of 41, 270 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. He was sacked 5 times. T. Higgins had a monster TD catch, had 6 catches for 83 yards, and Jamar Chase, 6 catches for 75 yards. But really, the big story, and it's unfortunate it's a big story, is the officiating from this game. We talked about this earlier, a lot of questionable calls, but really, at the end, they got it right on the late hit. You can't not call that. If you want to get on the officials for intentional grounding, totally agree. But then Burrow throws a first down on the next play. The no block in the back, fair. And then the hold maybe on Trey Hendrickson where Mahomes is running, if you want to call that into question, that is fair. But if you don't, I know it would have negated it, but you hit the player late out of bounds. If he doesn't do that, even with the misholding call, probably would have been about like a 59 or 60-yard field goal. So don't get me wrong, the officials are definitely a story. It's unfortunate, but it does feel like the better team did win, as the Chiefs did take down the Bengals 23-20. And you look back, if you're a Bengals fan, because you were playing from behind for most of the game, when you tie it up at 20 apiece, you then had the Chiefs punt the ball. Burrow then throws an interception. It was kind of like a punt from him, but that was a missed opportunity. Chiefs punt again, and you had to punt after that. So you had 2 opportunities in a 2020 game to go bare minimum, get a field goal, and you couldn't do that. And then when you give Mahomes another chance, a third chance, you know, to go take the lead, he's going to do that. And that's what happened. And the Chiefs win 23-20. And you will get Andy Reid going up against his old squad in the Philadelphia Eagles coming up in 2 weeks. What a wonderful matchup that's going to be between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is your Conference Championship Sunday edition of No Huddle Offense. Okay.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So if you're a 49er fan, there's really nothing that you could do about today. Yes, Brock Purdy got hurt. Yes, Josh Johnson got hurt. Yeah, you did not have a quarterback that was able to throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field because of the Purdy injury. I thought Philadelphia was the better team. With how quickly the injuries did occur, you got a sense early, and maybe it makes it easier to grieve throughout the game. And today it's not, even though it's always tough when your season ends, but it's not as tough as if you lost a 27-24 heartbreaker, or like last year where you were up big going into the fourth, and if in the fourth quarter, if one of your players just made the interception, the game's probably over, right? When you go back to the Stafford play in that game. I don't think yesterday, even though all losses are tough, Hickey, that yesterday it's really this heartbreaking loss to the 49ers, because by the time you entered the fourth quarter, you knew that the season was over and that your chances to get into the Super Bowl were dead and donezo.
Right. Definitely not heartbreaking. There's, I guess almost you could play the what-if game, and sometimes it's worse. Maybe not yesterday that what-if game would have been relevant, but like something when it happens so early, sixth play of the game, your third-string quarterback goes down. And like, yeah, it is frustrating, and it's like, because you, not that you feel cheated, but it's just like, if you got beat fair and square, okay, like, the Eagles are the better team, nothing you can do about it. And just like that what-if lingering, I think, just makes it a little bit tougher going to the offseason, kind of knowing your season ended in a way that you couldn't really control or, you know, want to go out at least.
Now, I also think we look at this differently because you picked the 49ers, and I thought regardless, and I went into the game obviously not thinking that Brock Purdy was going to get hurt, but I didn't think Brock Purdy was going into Philadelphia and was walking out with a W. And I thought that start was so big. And when the Eagles got the ball first and they marched down the field at 7-0, not that any game is over. And then you know what happened after that with the events of the injury. But Brock Purdy, when he did get hurt, you did have the fumble in that spot. That game, yes, it ended early because of the injury. But I do think even if Brock Purdy was healthy yesterday, it would not have made a difference in terms of that the Niners would have got a victory.
And I guess all I'll say is, look, the Eagles' offense did not look very good for most of the game.
But they didn't have to.
If you have competent offense, you probably don't drop the snap like Josh Johnson did in his own end deep before the first half. So maybe, let's say, they take a touchdown off the board. Just Brock Purdy's not going to, you would think, drop the ball. Again, you could play the what-if game. Probably won't win. But, again, it's just, I would just say, again, if I was a Niners fan, just be a little more frustrating. Like, if Purdy just did not play well, okay, he didn't play well. You can, I think, just eat personally for me, it'd be easier to live with than him getting hurt so early on. And now we're watching, a handoff fest in the second half because your quarterback can't throw.
Now, this does get lost because of the injuries, like you said. But going into that game, I thought the Eagles' defense was disrespected. Where everyone was talking about the 49ers' defense, 49ers' defense. Eagles had more sacks this year. And Hassan Reddick outplayed Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa, I don't even know if he was on the field. He did nothing in the game. And that Eagles' defense, it's really damn good. When you got Reddick, you got Brandon Graham, you got Fletcher Cox, the Dominican Sue, you got Linval Joseph. You look at the back end, you got Darius Slay and James Bradberry. This is really a great defense for the Philadelphia Eagles, and the depth that they have is just absolutely stupid. And that's probably what I'm most excited for to see in this Super Bowl, because Mahomes, with now an extra week to rest that ankle, and you saw what he did yesterday on one ankle, you're going up against this defense in Philadelphia. It is a fascinating matchup, just in terms of the Chiefs' offense up against the Eagles' defense. And, oh yeah, by the way, you had some injuries, and you expect everyone gives it a go in the Super Bowl, but to how healthy some of those wide receivers are for the Kansas City Chiefs now gets called into question, because, sure, you do have an extra week to get ready, and everyone's going to give it a go in a Super Bowl, but they had some injuries yesterday, Kansas City. They had three wide receivers at time leave the game.
That's what I think makes yesterday's win even more impressive for the Chiefs. Was not only the fact that you're having Patrick Mahomes deal with a serious ankle injury, they also lost in the game three receivers that you need to rely on, to the point where, I think it was, his last name was Kemp. No disrespect, I feel like I know the Chiefs pretty well. You have number 85 running on the field, like, who the hell is that?
with
4 minutes left in the fourth
game.
Quarter, and a big drive, we're talking about a guy who's, I think Jim Nance said he had like four receptions on the season or something like that. So it's like, we were talking about going deep into the barrel of reserves for wide receivers, and still were able to find a way to win. It was just very impressive.
It was, and I think yesterday shows you, even though you don't use the postseason to make these awards, by Mahomes is the MVP. That's not taking anything away from Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts has been sensational for that Philadelphia Eagles team and has changed just the entire dynamic in that locker room and their belief level. But Mahomes to lose Tyreek Hill, and everyone, right, is giving the Chiefs their best shot this year. Everyone thinks the Chiefs are there for the taking. Chargers going to win the division. All right, the Broncos with all their moves they made in the offseason. The Raiders with all their moves they made in the offseason, getting Devontae Adams. You got Josh Allen and the Bills, right? This was their year to shine. You got Joe Burrow and the Kansas City Chiefs, and then the Cincinnati Bengals and the Bengals defensive players saying that this was Burrowhead. Everything was thrown at the Chiefs this year, and they were right there for the taking. And still, 2 weeks, we're going to be sitting back, and yeah, it's 1 year absence of the Chiefs not getting in the Super Bowl. It's been one long year for Chiefs fans. And even though there were times where you questioned how great Kansas City was going to be, the facts are they're going to the Super Bowl. In a year where everyone was supposed to take them down, and in a year when they weren't supposed to be there, it's the same old, where if you don't take Mahomes out of the game, and I remember we did an exercise in the summer, give a few words on each team in the NFL. I said for the Chiefs, we'll be a tough out. And you saw Jacksonville, right, throw everything they can at them. You had the Mahomes injury. They still won the game. This game, they were up for most of the game. Then it gets to 2020. And when it gets to 2020, Hickey, I'm thinking Cincinnati's going to win the game. And Cincinnati had two opportunities to go bare minimum, get a field goal, and they couldn't get the points on the board. And I also think, as we talked about, the Eagles' defense was disrespected going into the NFC title game. In the AFC title game, as much as I like Lou Anarumo and what he's done with that Bengals defense, always talk about the Bengals defense. I don't think enough people talked about this Chiefs defense and the job that Steve Spagnuolo has done, where when they win, they get the timely stops. Right? Kansas City's defense, I know they have the second most sacks in the league, but they're not the greatest defense in the world. But just like they did in the Super Bowl, in that Super Bowl winning season, they got the timely stop. And yesterday, with their backs up against the wall, you're thinking Joe Burrow, and Chris Jones made a heck of a play. They got the timely stop. And that, to me, their defense, we'll all talk about the heroics of Mahomes, but Jones was just so good in the game. And you got to give credit to that Kansas City defense, because they did what Buffalo couldn't do. Buffalo couldn't take advantage of that offensive line that was banged up for Cincinnati. Kansas City was clearly able to take advantage, and we probably shouldn't have overlooked that going into the game because they did have the second most sacks in the NFL this season.
I think you hit it perfectly. With Steve Spagnuolo, they got the stops and they needed to the final two drives of the Bengals. Interception, which kind of served as like an arm punt from Joe Burrow. And then obviously, like you mentioned, the big Chris Jones sack on third down that opened it up. We've praised Joe Burrow a ton for his clutch drives. So the Chiefs defense credit, they came up clutch the final two drives of the game, helped win him.
And it also surprised me how much they still use Piron in those big spots over Mixon. If you go back to the Super Bowl last year where they ran Piron late instead of Mixon. But it shows you once again, this game is one in the trenches. The Eagles' offensive line was great yesterday. The Eagles' defensive line was great. The Bengals' offensive line, not so much. Chiefs' defensive line, dominant. Battle in the trenches. I know it's cliche, but it usually wins in this league. Onside's offside next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.